Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, it's Bob Pickett. We're on our way to the legendary Broken Spoke. Come on, let's get out of the truck and head inside. Come on, let's go inside. Get ready for another Tale from the Broken Spoke. Welcome in. Time for another great Tale from the Broken Spoke. Tales from Broken Spoke. I'm Bob Pickett with my favorite co-host right here, Monty. I say my favorite. You're my only co-host, buddy.
Makes it easy to be your favorite.
Yes. And joining us right now is Congressman Chip Roy. Welcome to the Broken Spoke.
Hey, it's always great to be here. I love being at the Spoke and proud to represent it.
You know, this is a little bit different because normally we're sitting at the Willie Nelson table. And this time we're actually inside the dance hall right here,
That's right.
Which I know we all three have spent a lot of time at the dance hall here at the Broken Spoke.
First time I was here, I was 3 years old. With
really?
The folks. Yeah.
I was going to say, you've probably spent more time on the stage over there instead of right here at one of the tables, haven't you?
Well, you know, it's crazy. It's like I got to tour all over the world, literally play Royal Albert Hall, play the Grand Ole Opry, done all network television, a Bob Hope special. It wasn't until I had a weekend night at the Spoke that my dad quit bugging me to go back to school.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He thought I'd made it once I was picking a Friday here. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Congressman, when was your first time to come to the Spoke?
Well, I believe, so my family has been in Texas, you know, since the 1850s. Mom and dad were married here in Austin in 1968, and my mom's parents were here. And so I'm visiting here. I came here as a kid, yeah. And I vaguely remember it. And then when I came here and I was going to law school at the University of Texas, my first time, I remember, I was debating where to go to school, and I came here with a buddy of mine. And we went down, and we had dinner down at, I think, Guero's, down on South Congress. And then we rolled down here. The Derailers were playing. And so we came here and we had a few beers, just a few, and sat here with the Derailers, and then we closed our night out as many used to back then, rolling right back down Lamar down to the Horseshoe Lounge and played a little, hung out there until about 2 a.m. This place, you know, we were kind of done by 12:30 or 1:00 and got to go close out the night over there.
So. True. Well, that's just a typical Austin night right there. It's a
Horseshoe
lot of fun.
That was a great joint.
I know. I don't even know what's there now. I don't know. But, yeah, we used to roll back down there.
I think it's like a
I'm sure it's shop. I'm sure it's a beautiful strip mall in the vein of Dallas,
Austin,
Texas.
It probably is. Right. Yeah. But this right here, man, this is the soul of South Austin. I still think that. Of course, we're surrounded by tall buildings right now, but what a beautiful place.
Oh, that, you know, and it, look around it. It has not changed a bit, nor should it.
Still got the same smell when you walk in. Just smells like family. It's a dance hall, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I don't guess they have many dance halls up there in D.C. now, do they?
You know, funny enough, they used to out in Virginia. They're all kind of gone now. But even in my first tour duty up there, so to speak, when I was working for Senator John Cornyn, and I was a lawyer up there, we would go out every once in a while to a dance hall out in kind of near Fredericksburg, Virginia. So there was old Virginia had a little bit of that kind of country things. Not the same as the Texas dance hall. Let me be very clear. It ain't the Spoke. It ain't Green Hall. You know, it's not Luckenbach. But you know, we had some places. But man, not anymore. Man, all that stuff's gone. And so I can tell you now, we don't have anything like it. I go to D.C. I work hard for a few days, and I try to get back to Texas as fast as I possibly can.
Got to get a chicken fried steak. I'm telling you, nothing like it.
Mr. White had a great saying. He goes, "You know the difference between a dance hall and a honky tonk? A dance hall is where you take your wife dance, and a honky tonk is where you take someone else's wife dance." I've never done. So there you go.
Okay. I took my wife dancing here a lot. Here at this dance hall.
And I understand we have something in common because after your wedding reception, you came here to celebrate the Spoke. Same thing I did back in 2000.
Look, my wife's and our courtship was very much built around Texas music. Our first date was a Willie Nelson concert at Stubbs Barbecue downtown Austin.
Yeah.
While we were in law school together at UT. Now, she's an Aggie, okay, to be clear, undergrad. She does not claim her time at the University of Texas. But we met at law school there and went to Willie concert. And then our second big date, if you will, was when Pat Green recorded Wave on Wave at the old backyard. Right, which is now what, a Best Buy? But at the old backyard, that was our second day. So there's a little snippet of us in that video in the Wave on Wave video. And so I've gone to a bunch of Willie concerts. I've gone to more concerts than I can possibly talk about. But we wanted to have Texas music be at the centerpiece of our wedding, and we got married at Hyde Park Baptist up in town in Austin. But our rehearsal dinner was at Threadgill's World Headquarters, which of course sadly closed a couple of years ago. We had the South Austin Jug Band, Warren Hood and the boys came. And they played a good show for us, and we had them there on that night, Friday night. And then Saturday, we had a reception out on a venue out near County Line on the Hill, kind of out down towards Barton Creek. And when that way, we had the Nash Hernandez Orchestra go play that. If you guys know those guys, a great sort of big band. And then we came here. We all got in a bus and came here to the Spoke, and the Derailers were playing, which was perfect. And so we had a great time here at the Spoke.
Man, I tell you, I like this guy.
Oh yeah.
Well, I love this stuff. I keep going. I mean, I'm so blessed to be able to represent this. To represent, I said Green Halls, Luckenbach, Whitewater. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in Central Texas, and obviously the food and the history and the barbecue and the beer, but the music is the soul of this place.
Yeah.
I was at the last show at Nutty Brown. We live about a mile and a half away from Nutty Brown. It was just, it was sad. It was a great show. We had fun. It's going to be an HEB. I'm imploring them not to tear down the live oak trees out there.
Boy.
But it was it's a little bittersweet, but we got to hang on to some of these or we're going to lose the soul of Austin.
That's true.
I'll say something else about the congressman or, Chip, my friend Chip.
Yeah, Chip, please.
I didn't know Representative Smith, Lamar Smith, very well. I know he was a wonderful congressman and he represented his district very well, but Chip succeeded Congressman Smith. And my family's lived here since, 1832, since it was Mexico. And I never once saw Representative Smith at any gig or anything like that. And now, really, it's like, the Wagoneers pick here once a month, last Friday every month, and the boys in the band go, is Chip coming out? I mean, he's here more often than he's not. And that's so important that Chip is just he's not here representing his constituents. He's of us. And it's really cool when you have a member of the House of Representatives that's that representative.
Who's like us. And I just realized, you mentioned you were at the Nutty Brown final show. I was there. You mentioned the backyard, the Pat Green video. I was there. You mentioned another, Willie Stubbs. Yep. I was there.
Yep.
So, you are.
Well, the thing is, we're blessed, right? I mean, I grew up appreciating Texas music from afar because I went to high school and college in Virginia. And so, in fact, the day I started college was August 27th, 1990. Now, that date, I don't know if it sticks in your head as meaning anything, but it means something in Austin because it was the day that Stevie Ray Vaughan's helicopter went down.
Yes.
And I remember that. I mean, plain as day, sitting there as someone who appreciated Texas music, and I'm moving into college, it's your first day of college, and I'm like, Stevie Ray Vaughan, man. He was the greatest. I mean, I'll sit there in Wormhole in the middle of the night just pulling up old Stevie Ray Vaughan videos and just listen. And I can't even. And so for me, when I came to law school and I'd go hear Jimmy and Double Trouble, and I went to a concert. I've got a poster in my office from March of 2003. I think it was the Music Awards, right? And it was down at Old Austin City Music Hall,
which
of course
Austin
also
Music
doesn't
Awards,
exist
right,
anymore.
Right.
Austin Music Awards, and so I heard Tony Price, I heard Jimmy and the band, and I heard who else was there in that show. But anyway, they're all up on the in the poster, and I've got that in my office because I was there. And I try to, I love the music scene here, and again, it's part of who we are. And I just hope we can hold on to it because we don't want to be Dallas on a lake, right?
True.
We want to maintain what is great about this city.
You know how to two-step?
Of course.
Okay.
Now, what's funny is I didn't grow up. I mean, one of the things that was great about Texas, right, and the dance halls was a part of the culture, right? You took your family. The kids went. And you grew up like a little four-year-old boy was learning how to two-step with a four-year-old girl. And it'd be 9 o'clock of the night at, you know, Green Hall when it was a tiny town in, you know, 1930. You know, now we don't do that, right? It's, oh, leave the kids home sitting there with their little, you know,
video games,
iPads, yeah, or video, yeah, games. And then, well, they're going to go out. And, oh, the dance halls are for adults. The dance halls used to be where they congregated. It's right. Kind of what brought the communities together, right, around music.
And like at Green Hall or even here, you look at the long tables. I mean, literally, you just put a couple jackets down, you put the babies to sleep.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it still happens. And that is not out of the norm. You just go with the youngins, you know, or,
yeah,
far away from the speakers and do that. Like, I remember when Brandy and I first started dating, she was working for MCA up in Nashville. And I was saying, would you come down? And I got a gig at Green Hall. And the boys will be there. My two sons were just 8 and 4 then. And she goes, well, if I'm coming down, you are not taking your children to a bar, because she's from Tennessee. And I said, no, it's a dance hall.
It's a dance hall. It's
big difference.
I don't even know where to put that, you know, because literally we're in the town she's from. It's still
dry.
Against the law to dance,
okay,
and dry,
dance, yeah,
right. And so she came down here and she went, oh, my gosh, this is, because you've got the German culture and the,
yep,
the Mexican culture, and it's all just about family.
Yeah.
And she, Brandy, immediately took to it like a duck to water. She goes, I see what you mean. Of course you bring the kids. Everybody brings,
yeah,
the kids. And it's just like, in about 11, the thing, you know, the demographic switches to people trying to meet people to where maybe they could have kids with them.
Yeah, yeah.
But early on, it's just a family.
Yeah, right.
It's beautiful. True. And it is unique to Texas. I have found touring the world that variety of family dance halls is pretty much just here.
Yep. And you're right, because I'm spending time in West Texas. You don't see that in West Texas. West Texas, it's bars,
right,
up around Lubbock and stuff. And here it's just a lot different atmosphere. It's a lot different, totally different and stuff.
Well, so much of that was just when the German immigrants came over and they were hiring Mexican workers, you know, they found that they couldn't communicate with one another through language, but they could through music, and that's where conjunto music comes from. That's why the Mexican accordion has the umpapa German beat, and just what was so unique about both of their cultures was the whole family's there,
mm-hmm,
and really the only two cultures that were like that were the Germans and the Mexicans, and it gave them a commonality that made the rest of the things go.
Yeah.
When my Southern Baptist preacher gives me any grief, he sees me posting a picture on social media holding maybe a Cold Shiner or Lone Star, I said, look, man, I represent a deep German community here, and you know, I would be kicked out of office in a heartbeat if I wasn't having a cold beer. So I'm doing it for the people, sir. I'm doing it for the people.
How much different is politics nowadays than it used to be? I mean, you guys get in trouble if you sit there and social, especially with social media, if you're sitting there with a beer in your hand or something?
You know, no, not really. I mean, the problem with politics right now, and we're not going to go down that road for this,
right,
great conversation, is very much about just not being able to sit down around a table. I mean, talking about community, I mean, you got to solve problems, any problems. You got to be able to sit around,
yeah,
a table and,
yeah,
solve them. And we're not doing that right now. So we'll have that conversation another day. But, you know, I will say one of the best responses I got stuck on the floor of the house, and I was supposed to go to some place to go do a Skype for it was a big event in Austin, a Republican thing, and I couldn't do it, and I was supposed to Skype in, so I got stuck in traffic, and so we had to just jump out at a barbecue joint in North Alexandria in Northern Virginia and just hop out on a picnic table, prop up my iPad, and then I had to just get on. And so I had a cold beer, and I was sitting there for 3 minutes waiting for him to pull it up. And so then I get on this screen, and I have a cold beer, and I'm just sitting there. And it's kind of like mine. He said, they're like, well, this is great. He's just a dude.
He just, right, yeah, he's just like one of us, yeah.
Barbecue.
Right.
And I do think that's one of the things that I try to employ in my representation. Obviously, I represent a very diverse group of folks. Downtown Austin, they're not as conservative as the folks in, say, you know, Bernie, Texas, or Kerrville. So, you know, I try to focus on the issues that I know people are passionate about here in South Austin and downtown Austin, and try to be a part of that and represent them and speak openly and honestly. You may not love what I positions I take, but I try to be as straight up about it as I can be.
Yeah, honestly. Well, I think one thing we all agree about is how important the spoke is and how,
amen,
important Texas music is,
yep,
and everything. So,
well, and something else, when everything blew up, you know, and that's the whole thing about, it's so interesting the way our country's set up, and that we have a House of Representatives where you can, if you need to, you can, particularly when it's someone like Chip Roy, you can get your congressman on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the system was set up. But like when everything blew up, and you know, I've been alive you know, I've had the same job since I was 14 years old. I don't know how many people have that. You know, not a lot of 50-year-olds with, you know, the paper routes, you know. So
right.
Well, I've had the same job, you know.
I will say, when everything blew up, I mean, I assume you mean sort of virus-related. Everything shut down. And, you know, one of the things that I was working on was the PPP bill. We worked on another bill for music venues
and musicians.
Because it was so important because of shutdowns and lockdowns. Again, putting all those debates aside, the fact of the matter is our restaurants, our live music venues, we're taking it on the chin. And
yes.
The area that I represent from Austin to San Antonio, look, that's the lifeblood for people. And we had to find a way to try to get through that. And again, back to the point of being here, we're still digging out from under that, right?
Oh, yes, we are.
And
yes.
We've got to – anybody listening to this, go out, listen to some live music, go re-engage. If we lose that, then we're losing that connectivity, that personal part about who we are that makes us feel part of the community. Mm-hmm. I would encourage everybody, go out to the dance halls. Go out and enjoy those. Keep them alive. Go to the Spoke. Go to Don's Depot. Go downtown. Go out to Green. Go out to Luckenbach. Go wherever. And there's a bunch more. I'm not rattling off. And support your musicians by listening to them.
Well, that's true.
And like our last date, the Wagoneers pick here last Friday every month. Our November date was our first 600 people through the door since that's our biggest crowd since the pandemic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so
that's good.
They came, there was one couple with a mask on, and by the end of the night they'd taken it off. Everybody was just living and being here, but just unique to Chip Roy.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
The way Brandy's had her publishing company, my wife Brandy, for 20 years. 20 years in February. Successfully done. And we also have my touring company in through that. And just the way we were set up, we're just mom and pop. And there were a lot of things about PPP that there was not a box to check for us. And I was talking to Chip over there at the Broken Spoke right before the Wagoneer started, and he said, "Monty, I'm making some changes you and Brandy are going to love. If you don't like it, let me know." And he changed our life. He set it up so we're Brandy's little old company. When you changed it, it made it possible. And Mr. and Mrs. White weren't able to get it either till the changes that Chip made. And I was talking to Mr. White here, and he said, "You're just over there just talking to him." I said, "Mr. White, you just go talk to Chip. He's just a fella like us. He just has a different job." And he went up to me, and he said, "Well, I just went up and talked to him. He's the friendliest guy in the world." There's 435 members of Congress. We're blessed to have a special one.
Have a good neighbor, yeah.
We miss Mr. White, I can tell you that.
Amen.
Yeah, we do. We really, really do. Really do. Really do.
Mr. White was very kind enough to host a event here for the police in October of 2020, year and change ago, at a time when they needed it and trying to come out and show support for them. We had a back to the week because nobody's coming out. I wasn't sure how many people would show up, and we packed a good chunk of this place. It was hosted here. And Brent,
the music. What was it, 10 in the morning or
something? Yeah, something like that. It was a Saturday morning trying to get people in. It was packed.
Really?
People wanted to come out and support the cops. And I remember a mutual friend of ours was here.
The other Bob, my friend
the
Bob.
The other Bob was here and was at the stage and helping us. And he was like, "Man, this is good to see people out." Remember that? That was October of 2020. So, you know, people had not been out that much, at that point. We got a crowd in here, and it was good.
Yeah.
And nobody got sick.
No, we didn't.
Nobody got, you know. We were threatened with it was going to be a super spread or this or that. I mean, grand total of nobody got sick. So, there you go. I'll leave that there.
Yeah. We just keep the Austin City Council's hands off the Broken Spoke. I'd be a lot happier. I can say that. You guys can.
From
I can
your
say
list,
that.
Oh,
I'll say it all day long.
Okay.
I don't hold back when it comes to City Council.
Good. No, this is such a special place. A lot of great memories. We've got more memories, of course, to make it this place. Now, was that the first time you met Mr. White that day?
No. I mean, I'd met Mr. White numerous times. Now, not as a congressman, right? Now, we had met, that conversation was a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But, you know, I, of course, had I mean, all of us met Mr. White, and for the listeners, I mean, we're sitting about 10 feet from where
he took
all
money
of us,
from you. He took money from you.
He took
money
from me, yeah. Okay. And wearing one of his great vests and his hat.
I guess I'm the only one he's ever handed
He's taking money from me.
He sure as heck wouldn't give me any money because nothing I'm going to say is going to be worth getting, paying for it. But, no, he was great, and we got to know each other in the couple of years that I represented him before he obviously passed earlier this year. And just such a blessing, his family and what he meant to South Austin. And again, that's why we've got to come out and support these folks. It's part of who we are.
Well, and I'll say this, and I said this when I was blessed to give his eulogy. It's don't just talk about going to the Spoke.
Do
don't
it.
Just say we need to get there. Get there. Go out and come dancing. It's still the same broken Spoke, and that's the best tribute you can pay to the memory of James White is to continue to come to the Spoke. And I was going to say, Chip has a picture with Mr. White that's in their Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Then the tourist.
I
trap.
I even look at that.
In the tourist trap, and it's Chip and Molly Hemingway, the amazing journalist and author, and Mr. White. And last time that I was in here for soundcheck, they had moved the picture of Chip and Molly and Mr. White with the Wagoneers on stage because Miss White said, I put it like that because I saw there was Chip and James and then that girl. I said, oh, I think that's Brandy's friend. It's Molly anyway.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story about that because Molly's a good friend and we didn't know the connection. And Molly was in town and I was here. I think it was for Trib Fest or one of those political things, And we were at a dinner and Carl Rove and a whole bunch of people, and we were talking, and she was like, "Well, we got to go see the Wagoneers." I said, "Well, all right. I mean, I agree." And I was thinking about heading over there too. But what's you're in Mark's her husband Mark? What's your deal? I said, "Well, we're friends. We know him. We want to go listen." I said, "Oh, great. Let's go." So we come over here, and again, as he said, we took the picture. Well, then I saw the picture about 2 weeks later, a month later, whenever I next came to the Spoke, as I try to do as much as I can. And I walked in and I saw the picture and I was like, oh my gosh, I have a picture where all the cool
people
are.
You've made it.
It's a, you've got all the, you got Willie and you've got, George Strait. You got all these, my heroes.
You've got Randy Travis's plate signed. I mean, you're right there.
Right.
Yeah.
LBJ
there
going, hat. Right.
Little old me, I'm sitting here. But I'm there with Molly. So I take a picture of it and I tweet it. And then I'd send it to Molly, and Molly started freaking out. She goes, wait, I'm in a picture at the Broken Spoke?
I don't believe it.
It was amazing.
That's how you made it.
I had, because I really enjoy her writing. She's just an extraordinarily gifted writer. And her husband, Mark, is just equally talented. And I sent her just an email one day. She'd written something very cutting and funny. And like 5 minutes later, I get this email from her husband. He goes, are you the Monty Warden that was in the Wagoneers? I love you guys, da-da-da. And I went, yeah, of course, that's me. So anyway, so we just started just this correspondence. And, we all have fabulous wives. So within just a matter of weeks, I went from Molly and Mark's friend to Brandy's husband, as I so often do.
You kind of moved up a little bit,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, exactly. They talk all the time.
Oh, man.
Really, really cool. And they, of course, she and Mark love the Spoke. Every time they're in town, they come here.
Yeah.
It's a neat deal.
Yeah. One of the things about, Texas music, I remember, so I've, for years I've been going to the Bruce Robinson and Kelly Willis Christmas
shindig.
Yeah. And wasn't able to do it this year. I was out of town for one of them and I had a conflict when they were at Green Hall, which I hate because I've done, probably 10 of them over the years, And it was the first concert I went to after I had, and Monty knows this, I had cancer a decade ago in 2011. So I was kind of out of commission for a year in terms of doing that kind of stuff, So I was still in treatment, but had kind of turned the corner. I was cancer-free, but I had to finish my treatment, still beat up. We went down to Green Hall, and it was the first concert I'd gone to in about 6 months. And, I saw Kelly, and Kelly and I don't necessarily agree on political things that much, but we had a good conversation. And then later I saw Kelly, once I was a congressman, we were out at Robert Earl Keen, 4th of July in Kerrville. And she was backstage. She was getting ready to sing and do her due. And I love her voice. I love Bruce. Bruce is one of the best songwriters around.
Amazing.
And I was talking to Kelly. And I said, your concert, when I went there, was one of the things that helped kind of uplift me heading into Christmas, coming out and going to see live music again. After going, I went from 210 to 165 pounds, you know, the usual kind of cancer stories. And then I was beating it and coming out of it. But being a part of life, being back out there, again, that's what the music scene does for people. And we need it. We need it to stay strong.
Well, the thing is that, you know, particularly somebody like Kelly and Bruce, whom I've known. I've known Kelly since she was 18. I was an old man of 19. I've known Bruce since I was 20, you know. I've known these people a long time, Bruce, and I've sold a bunch of records together. Kelly's cut a bunch of my songs. Just the importance, like, the importance of your fans and making music that people love and making music that matters. I mean, you think about music, you know. They play it when you're born, when you're married, when you're buried. It is a constant, and it transcends all opinion, all partisanship. You know, it is truly one of the last great bastions of complete togetherness, and that's why, you know, my friends on the left and the right, and my friends in particular, we are all very conscious of not doing anything to taint that, and being very much aware of what a polarizing time it is, and that music has not been infected with that. It has stayed music.
I hope it never will be.
Well, and really, it's up to the artist, because it's like, you know, it's important, I think, as an entertainer, not to be confused of why I have a microphone. I have a microphone because I write million-selling songs and I sing them pretty well. And I don't like when entertainers give a political opinion, so if I go do that, then I'm just a hypocrite. And really, if you go back and look at virtually any entertainer that gives a political opinion, it is always self-serving. It is always something their fans are going to dig, and yet they act like some great, brave soldier caught behind enemy lines. And it's like if you went to a four-year-old little girl's birthday party and, you know, declared your unwavering support for ponies and glitter glue and act like you're some
great
guy.
This is a really important point, and one of the things that's great about the music scene. Again, I'm a very outspoken conservative politician. I go to a lot of live music. I used to joke when I lived off of South Congress in law school, and I'd go to the Continental Club for the Tony Price Hippie Hour. I mean, there weren't a lot of conservatives
not
rolling around
then,
in my cigarette. And I'm like, you know, I used to joke in a, you know, 1 mile radius, how many of us were there? But the fact is, right, you know, none of us want to turn on ESPN and have it be political, right? You just want to watch football.
Right.
And, you know, come to concert. And that's one of the great things. You come here, you're two-stepping. I don't know anything about who's here, who's not here, what their political views are. And music is a great thing for that sort of thing. I went to Willie's concert with Pat at Whitewater in October. And look, man, the dude's 87, and he talked about Little Sister's on the stage, 88, and she's just sitting there playing the piano like a 20-year-old at church. I mean, she's it's great, and it's just great to see.
I think it binds the family together, generations as well.
Certainly. Well, and you know,
politics be damned, it binds the family together.
Well, and within my bands, whether it's the Wagoneers or the Dangerous Few, it is all across the political spectrum, and we just – it's not that we don't talk about it. It's that it's not important to us. Music, the art, moving people. Having somebody come up to you that hadn't been to a live show in a year with tears coming down their face, I don't go, I'm sorry, ma'am, are you a Republican or a Democrat?
Yeah.
I just go, God bless you. Thank you for coming out. Because music is the most, it's the oldest way we have to communicate. That, you know, the first two professional songwriters were David and Solomon. You know, it's the first way we were able to communicate on a mass level. And I think only we, the music makers, can screw that up. And I don't think we plan on it.
I don't think you will. Yeah. Here's something you may not know, though, being a congressman. Do you know that our station, KVET, was founded by who the founders were of KVET? It was John Connolly, Merrill Connolly, and J.J. Pickle.
I did not know that.
They were veterans.
Or have forgotten.
Yeah, they were all veterans. It's like KVET got the name Vet.
That's amazing. If I knew that, I certainly forgot it. Obviously, those are folks of great political lore in the state of Texas, right?
Well, J.J. Pickle, I remember, he was still our representative for years back when I started working for
KVET. Well, they used to call the flight. I don't know what the airline was at the time when I was Braniff or I don't know what, but it was the Pickle Flight,
to
because
DC,
they had the direct flight from the old Austin Airport, right up where the development is now. The direct flight, that was the Pickle Flight, and that went away. I think it was Braniff.
It was Braniff.
And they, you know, finally Southwest. Now it's been 8-9 years ago. They got that direct flight, and I take it, you know, all the time. And we sometimes jokingly still call it the Pickle Flight because it's the direct flight. And obviously John Connolly, you know, a lot of history there.
Yeah, right. Mr. Pickle used to hand out these little green pickles on campaigns. Yeah, I still have one.
They were whistles.
They were whistles. Yeah. Or you could squeak them. He
handed me one at the Jerry Lewis MDA telethon. He was there when you went by the old Channel 36 there in the university area. Yeah. The congressman was down there.
Now, that was a politician because he was everywhere around here. You know, and great
that
man, great
wholesale
man.
Wholesale politician.
Well, and that's one of the things that's frustrating about the virus for all of us, right? I mean, in my case, I mean, 2/3 of the 3 years I've been in Congress has been during COVID. And so it's different. I like being out. I like being at events. I like being at the wreath-laying ceremony for, you know, at the cemeteries at Fort Sam Houston or at the state cemetery. I like going to live music or going to, you know, festivals and all the great. We have so many great, you know, events throughout Central Texas. And, you know, so many of those were pulled back. It's been good, though. In this last year, in Texas in particular, has been open and people have been out and about. And I think we're getting there. So we just got to keep it up.
Lot more. Yeah, I knew you were going to slip that
in. You got it in there.
A lot more tales, but tales than Broken Spoke.
Tales from the Broken Spoke is recorded live at the Broken Spoke in Austin, Texas. Hosted by Country Radio Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Pickett and Monty Warden. Recorded, mixed down, and produced by Mike Rivera.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.